I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, and before you go in, I'll just say those last two songs we sang are some of just my favorite songs. And if you're an incoming freshman, both just really reflect what this ministry is all about. That this ministry is about Christ and what He's done for us and what He, what He can do for you if you place your trust in Him. And our need to respond in faith and follow after Him. So if you're an eighth grader, thank you so much. As we open up God's Word, I'll just say, eighth graders, we're really thankful to have you up. I'm calling you eighth graders now because I know in like a couple weeks you're incoming freshmen, so I'll try to change my vocabulary. But if you're an incoming freshman, we're thankful to have you, and we're so glad you're here. I know the heart of these other students, the many other that are here, is to make you feel welcome. And, you know, sophomores through graduating seniors, I would say, reach out to the freshmen, make them feel welcome, pull them in. I'll let you know that this group is going to be a lot of fun. And the next 4 years are going to be a great time. Any of the graduating seniors would tell you that, that the next 4 years will be awesome. But our heart's desire, on top of camp, you know, we do it fun. We don't do Mario Kart every Sunday. But, you know, today was kind of a special day. You know, our heart's desire is to help you in your love for Christ. And for some of you, we're praying that you would actually come to know Christ over the next 4 years. And maybe you've grown up in church, but you don't actually love Him and treasure Him. That's what we're praying for you. For others of you, we our desire is to see you grow in maturity, grow in the way that you love Him, grow in the way that you follow Him. So freshmen, here's my advice to you. Dive right in, right? So like, you know, on days where we're singing, don't like wait for the seniors to start singing before you find out it's okay for you. You go for it. You know, when it comes to service opportunities, don't say, oh, I need to wait till I'm older. Go for it. You guys could set the tone in seeking out Christ and living godly. So I'd say jump into this ministry. Be part of a Bible study. Come on Wednesday nights. We'll meet here every Wednesday for the few weeks heading into camp. We'd love to have you come be a part of our ministry. Today, we're going to be talking about something we don't talk about every week. And we're actually going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about social media, which is something we don't talk about all the time. We're in the middle of a series where we're kind of looking at hot button issues or contemporary issues, and how do we as Christians tackle these things? And we've hit some heavy ones. You know, we looked a couple weeks ago at homosexuality. We looked last week. I know Christy talked about racism and how we should think about that biblically. Today isn't maybe as much of a divisive issue because social media in and of itself is not an evil thing. But we want to ask the question, what do we do with social media? How is it that we as believers should live in light of this? And for that, I've got a quiz for you. Go to the next slide. Okay, next one. We'll go to that one later. Next slide. Okay, one more. Who thinks that they could tell me, oh, my font's going to come out all funky. That's okay. Who thinks they could tell me what are the 6 most popular social media sites? And this counts all people, not just teenagers, but 6 most popular. Raising your hand, who thinks they could tell me number 1? Jack, talk to me. What was that? He says YouTube. Answer is, number 1 is Facebook. Most popular thing. I saw online 52% of internet users have Facebook. Who has a Facebook? Facebook, okay, there we go. I got one of those when I was in college. That's good. Okay, who thinks they can guess number 2? Number 2, Whitney. Whitney says Instagram number 2. That is not correct. Number 2 is actually YouTube. So Jack had that one. There we go. Which I didn't think of as social media, but I guess it is because you could post your own videos. You create your own account. It is social and it is, in fact, media. Okay, talk to me. Number 3, what do you think? Switzer. Oh, Twitter. I thought it was like old football coach Barry Switzer, kind of made his own thing. All right, number 3. No, number 3 is Instagram. And you got to think all people. So Twitter, your grandma probably can't figure out Twitter, but she can figure out Instagram, right? You know, take a picture, post it. That's all you got. Okay, number 4. Any guess for number 4? Young lady, yeah. Snapchat. All people. Number 4, no. Sorry, number 4 is Twitter. Or Twitter. I like it. Number 5. What was that? LinkedIn, number 5, is Reddit, which I honestly don't get Reddit, and I don't know. And then number 6, Go ahead, show number six. Number six is what she just said, I think. Go ahead, show number six, Donovan. Oh, it's vine. No. Hold on. Before you all try to murder me, I'm aware that vine has died. I'm aware that it died last year. I'm also aware this is an old poll. It's not updated for 2017 because we're only 5 months in, people. The true answer, this was a poll taken from last year. Now, the true answer actually was LinkedIn for number seven, so good job. LinkedIn, the account that you get invites to and you never accept. So, now let's go to the next one. This will be up your guys' alley. Next slide. Okay, so let's talk teens. So there's another one that's done for teens. So teenagers, which is scary. Number one. Number one for teenagers. Any guesses? Stanley, what do you think? Was that that wasn't a hand? All right, Zach, what do you think? He says Instagram. The number one for teens, you guys probably know this, is Snapchat. And it's because I think the parents haven't figured it out yet, so they think this is how I can get away, which is probably not a good heart behind it. Number two is, go ahead. Number two is Facebook amongst teens still. Now, keep in mind that you're not the only teenagers in the world, so don't get all egocentric and prideful if it doesn't match your list. Number three is Instagram. Number four, let's go quick, Twitter. Number five, Pinterest. The social, by the way, if you're a guy and you don't know what Pinterest is, it's probably okay. And number six is Tumblr, which is what three-year-olds do. All right, next slide. There we go. Okay. So, social media, as we've kind of seen some of these platforms, social media is a very vast topic. I mean, even as you look at this picture, everything does something a little bit different. Snapchat is meant to show pictures real quick. They disappear. This is my very first Instagram post, which I didn't mean to have. Of course, it had food, so it reflects the heart. But we got that going on there. Let's find a slide that doesn't have a picture on it. Is the next slide not? There we go. All right, okay. In touch with the inner selfie. That's why I like that. You know, when we... Social media is a big deal, and it's changed a ton. When I was in middle school, that's when I had my first social media account. It was something on AOL that was called AIM, AOL Instant Messenger. You guys probably have no idea what AIM is. Some of the staff, some of the staff people know, remember what AIM is? AIM, you'd go online and you'd create a screen name and you'd try to chat with people and you'd hear the door open sound. You'd be like, oh, ooh, somebody's on. And then door closed, which means now they're not on or you got blocked. One of the two. And it was just this really weird thing that we do on Friday nights. Like, let's try to chat online instead of meeting up. And then you guys have seen there was something else when I was in high school called MySpace, which I think has died a long time before you guys have come online. It died when I was in college, so nobody's messing with MySpace. And then we've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. This morning, I want to talk about your life and social media because this is everywhere. This is something you're going to have to deal with. This is everywhere where you're going to have to figure out how I interact. I mean, it's on your phone. It's on your computer. It's even in your car now. I remember when the Xbox One came out, you could link that up to your Twitter account or any other social media feeds. I saw a survey online. This is the average person. Spends somewhere between 100 minutes and 3.5 hours a day on their social media. Somewhere between 1 hour and 40 to 3.5 hours working on their social media or checking their social media throughout the day. And so what we need to look at is how do we as Christians deal with this? And here's the good news. I just want to help you out as we go through this. The good news is though the Bible is an old book and doesn't say anything about 140 characters or less, doesn't say anything about here's a picture, take a look, it's going to disappear in a little bit, say anything about that, the Bible speaks to this. And the Bible has actually some really clear and good things to say about how you should interact with your social media. And I want you to look at a couple of verses to understand this. You guys should be in Luke 5. If you're not, we'll take a look at Luke 5. Most verses will be on the PowerPoint today because we're going to jump all over. But I want you to see something. And again, incoming freshmen, I'm glad you're here. I want you to ask yourself, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it actually mean to be a Christian? I know maybe some of you've claimed this your whole life, but what does that actually look like to say that I'm a Christian? Well, what we see when we look at Luke chapter 5 is we see a Christian is someone that follows Christ. I mean, look at this. In Luke chapter 5, the story where Jesus tells Peter and his fellow fishermen to lay down their nets. there's a huge catch that comes up. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Look at verse 10. Halfway through it says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." Verse 11, "And when they brought their boats to land," what? "They left everything and followed him." See, that's what a Christian is. They abandon everything and follow after Christ. Look again at the next few verses, verse 28 of chapter 5 there. You start at verse 27. "After that, Jesus went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he left everything and got up and began to follow him." See, that's part of what it means to be a believer, is to say, I deny myself. I surrender all, and all of my life is about following Christ. On top of that, all of life is an act of worship to Christ. It's about pleasing him. Take a look at this verse up here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think I have that verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Do I not have it? No, I don't. Never mind. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, Paul says, "Therefore we have as our ambition always, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him." And so when we look at social media, here's the question that we need to ask. How can I be pleasing to Christ in how I do this? How do I honor him? How do I use whatever I have, a Vine, an Instagram, a Twitter, a Facebook? I'm assuming there's some combination of all those. Maybe some of you are Google Plusers. I don't know if that's you, but some combination of that. How do I use these things to honor the Lord? And before we get in, there's two kind of foundational truths that you need to understand. Number one is this: God cares about social media. God cares about social media. Or said differently, God is following you. You know, social media is not some safe zone. It's not like, okay, well, here's real life where I need to honor the Lord, and here's kind of my private life where I get to decide what I want to do. God cares about this. It exists before him. He sees all. He knows the thoughts. He sees the comments. And he wants to be honored in all of it. He wants you to even in that realm, to please him. This shouldn't be a killjoy. This should actually be freeing. But it should be something we recognize as we handle our social media. That's why you cannot say that social media of itself is evil. That'd be like saying a car is evil. A car is not evil. It could be used for good. It could be used for evil. But in and of itself, it's not evil. How many of you have your phone today? Who's got their phone with them? All right, a lot of you, which is crazy. I mean, I think there's like 8 of us, even when I was in middle school, that had a cell phone. That like wasn't a thing that we had. This device, which mine is shattered because I've dropped it a few times. This device is an amazing device. I mean, I get emails on this device. I mean, the people used to have like Pony Express stuff. And now I get messages on my phone. This thing is cool. I mean, I could look at the weather. I could check out sports. I could check out sports. That's about it. But this device is really, really great. And it has potential to do great things. And young person, this device has the potential to ensnare you and to trap you and make you think wrongly about God and how you ought to love him. So this is a great thing. And it's really great. I think a lot of you have these. I think it's also something that you've got to watch over your own heart and your own soul and how you deal with these and how you interact with the social media platforms that you have on there. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice. So remember, social media, God cares about it. He's not an old man who's surprised by this, is not sure what an emoji is. He knows all this stuff, and he wants us to honor him within it. The second thing that you've got to understand is this: social media is a privilege, not a right, and not a requirement. That's foundational truth too. It's a privilege, it's not a right, and it's not a requirement. It's not something that you are entitled to. Do you understand that? I think sometimes we see our social media as an extension of ourself. And that's part of me. And I need to have one because everyone else has one. Well, the Bible doesn't make such promises. Friends, if your parents say, do not have a social media, if your parents don't want you to have an account, then that account hidden right now within the apps that you've created a group on the second slide that no one could see, though your parents don't see it, God sees the way you're dishonoring your parents. If they don't want you to have one, you're not supposed to have one. But not only that, but we've got to be willing to recognize that these things, they don't trump other godly requirements. They're not something we have to have. They have to be things that we got to be willing to limit within our life, willing to put parameters on, willing to say, no, I'm not going to do everything that my friends are doing on social media. Now, understand as I'm saying this, I'm meddling a little bit. Some of the things I'm going to talk to you about tonight, it's going to get uncomfortable because it's kind of this area of your life that you know that your parents don't fully know about, and you'd really like it if people weren't speaking into. But I'm only doing this out of care for you, and I'm doing this because I want to see you honor Christ even in this area. Now, what should we do with our time this morning? There's a lot of things we could do. I could critique the social media trend as a whole. We could talk about all the different dangers of social media. It kills thinking, kills literacy, danger of pornography, the whole self-centeredness. But what I want to do this morning is I want to ask you questions about your use of social media, about your use. This isn't time for you to judge others. This isn't time for you to think like, man, I'm so glad I don't use it as often as others. I want you to talk about your own use of social media today. And I want you to think about it. And as we do that, we're going to look at different categories. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to take some time to reflect. Even at the end of the day, I'm going to pass out a survey, and it's just something for you to this week. You could take with you, you could take home, and you could look at and ask yourself questions. How am I doing in this area of my life? Again, our goal is not that, oh, Josh is going to try to tell us no. I'm not going to tell anybody no. I don't think biblically I could do that. My goal is to help you think about, how do I honor the Lord in this area? This is new, and because of that, you're kind of the generation that you're kind of left to figure this out for yourself. I want to help you a little bit so you could think about, how do I honor the Lord within this? So four different areas that I want to look at. First one is this. Let's talk about social media and communication. Let's talk about social media and communication. Four areas to evaluate yourself. First one is social media and your communication. And as I've already put up there, social media is communication. It is, at its essence, communication, as I have on a big old slide, right? Social, I put the definition up there. Social means pertaining to, devoted to, characterized by friendly companionship or relations. Maybe not always friendly when we look at some of the comments, but still companionship, relationship, there's interaction between people. And scripture tells us a lot about communication. And that's what you got to think about it. When you're on your social media, it's not just a picture, it's communication. Sometimes it's within words. Sometimes it's a comment, sometimes it's a like, sometimes it's just sending a photo. But let's see, what does the Bible say about communication? Well, first, when we look at communication, you got to remember God created communication. God created communication, right? How does he speak the world into existence? Or how does he create the world? It's through speaking, right? He is the God, unlike the idols of the Bible, that actually communicates, that speaks to us. He's spoken to us through this book. He actually governs our communication. He tells us how it is we ought to speak. We see in Genesis 1 and we see in Hebrews 1 that the universe came into existence by God speaking. That you actually, according to 2 Corinthians 4, your new life came because he spoke light into your soul and made you alive. And so God cares very much about this because he's the author of communication. Second thing we see when we do look at scripture is that communication can be dangerous. Communication can be dangerous. If you look at James chapter 3, if you want to tune in there, James chapter 3 talks about the dangers of the tongue. And so it's no wonder we see so many hurtful comments on social media. It says James chapter 3 verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. And here's what James says. He says, "See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." In other words, there's the tongue that you have is so small and yet can do such damage, right? And though it's not oral communication, we can cause great damage by cyber communication, electronic communication, right? I mean, how many stories do you hear of a teen killed himself because he was being bullied on social media, right? That's the extreme one. The media kind of loves those stories these days, but still, there's hurtful things. I'm sure some of you in this room have been hurt by someone that never actually said anything to you in person, but it was something they typed, something they sent, some picture that they sent of you. Communication can be dangerous. At the same time, communication can be good. So the psalmist prays in Psalm 19, verse 14, "Lord, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight." I think that's the next one, is communication can be good. can be a good thing. The other thing you need to think about is this. We're not going to look at this verse, but communication involves others. Communication involves others. And you might be saying, Josh, what does that have to do with anything? Here's a passage I want you to look up later. And you can write this down, and so that way you can spend some time looking at it. Ephesians, actually, you know what? Turn there, because this is important for us. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, because I actually say this is probably the most important passage of the day. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how we ought to think about communicating with one another. And I want you, as you look at this, to notice two categories. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. A few different categories that come up on communication. It says, therefore, Ephesians 4, 25, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer. Jump down to verse 29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. What you see in this passage is good communication and bad communication. And what you notice is it's pretty simple. Good communication builds up. Bad communication tears down. See that word unwholesome in verse 29? Another word, you probably see it in your Bible. Another word that could be used there is rotten. Right? We're not supposed to use words that hurt others. Rather, our communication is supposed to have a purpose. You understand that words aren't just kind of supposed to float. They're supposed to actually accomplish something. And then what they're supposed to do as believers is to build others up, to encourage others, to be a source for good. And so when you're on social media, can I just ask you, what does your language say about how you're honoring Ephesians 4? Are you encouraging one another, or do you tear others down? Are you a troll, quote unquote? Do you rip on others? Do you use bad language? You realize it's still cussing, even if you only typed it out, right? It's still inappropriate. How are you using your words? You know, this week I read a blog. And this guy, he posted 12 questions to ask before posting something on social media. And I think he was primarily talking about Facebook and Twitter, because a lot of these have to do with words. But some of these could apply to Instagram as well. So let me just read them off for you. Here's 12 questions to ask before you post something. And you can grab these later. Don't try to write them down. I'm going to read them fast. Here's what he says. You could ask the question, will it edify? Will it be easily misunderstood? Will it reach the right audience? Will this help my evangelism? Will this bring unhelpful controversy? Will this offend or embarrass somebody? Will this convey care? Will it help others appreciate someone else? Is this boasting? Is the tone appropriate? Is it wrong if I said nothing? Or what would others say about what I'm about to post? It's 12 questions that he rattles off. You can get those later if you really want them. But things to think about your communication before you post, realizing good communication builds up, bad communication tears down. The last thing you got to see about communication is this. Communication reveals the heart. Communication reveals the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 18, we have it up there, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. That whenever you post something on social media, what we're getting is not just a little portrait of you with all your friends hanging out or at the beach by yourself, but what we're getting is a little bit of a portrait, not every time, don't psychoanalyze everyone, but we're getting a little bit of a portrait into your heart because words say something about the person. Words reveal truth about you. And whenever we have words, it's revealing who we are. It's coming out, not just of our hands, out of our minds, but it's coming from our hearts. It's showing what we really love, what we really treasure. It's actually showing who we really are when we post on social media. That's why when somebody says kind of a hurtful comment on social media, they get confronted. And what always happens, like, oh, I said something bad about you. Hey, why'd you say that? Oh, I was just kidding. Right? Have you ever had that? Like someone says something bad, you confront them. Oh, I was just kidding. Ha ha. Like, well, no, you weren't kidding. It came out of the heart, right? It revealed how you really think. You just got caught, and you probably shouldn't have said that. Social media communicates about our heart. Let me give you some categories to think about, okay? When I think about the heart in social media, what we've seen, let me just see how are you doing in these ways. Number one, you know, we see this is still on the social media communication. Just what about complaining on social media? Are you someone that likes to complain, maybe on Facebook or Twitter? You know, Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Are you a complainer? That even includes maybe talking about your parents, talking about school. You know, it's still showing a heart that's discontent, a heart that's not satisfied with God's sovereign plan for your life, even if you only just typed it in. Complaining. It's really, really popular nowadays for people on social media to complain about the government. Complain, oh, I can't believe so-and-so. In fact, it's really popular on social media to complain about everything. I mean, everything that comes up, you either have to say, oh, I love it, or oh, I can't stand this. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. And what it shows is we're discontent people. It reveals our heart that we're not truly trusting in the Lord. We're not really satisfied with all he's given us, that we think he's not probably doing a very good job running this universe. What about complaining social media? What about anger or language? She's having trouble with the connection. Well, you see, because it's in the Bible and it's communication. That's how it connects. So I'm just kidding. Poor Siri. That's okay. Bet you don't do that again. All right, so... right? What about anger? Are there times where you would say, well, it'd be totally inappropriate for you to fly off the handle in person, and it'd be totally inappropriate to use that language in public, but because I'm only typing it out, it's okay? Or maybe it's not even something typed out. Maybe you're the kind of person that just goes through social media and you're just kind of bitter with everyone else. And you're like, man, I can't believe they posted that again. I mean, how many pictures of that do we need to see? I get it. You're dating. You're also fresh. You'll probably break up in a month, right? Like, okay, maybe 2 months. But I say that half jokingly, but hold on, you're going to miss the point. I'm making a joke, but if you're the person that does that every time you go online, aren't you just complaining? How's this helping you if you're just kind of remaining a bitter person? What about your heart and just speech being practiced? The way you're talking about people. You know, I've always been uncomfortable with social media, the way it's okay for someone to post a picture of somebody else and people like to comment like, oh, that person's hot. Look how good looking they are. And the reason I bring that up is because we're already in a culture that just kind of normalizes that and think that's okay. What's that being communicated about the heart? Selfishness towards others, you focus. The biggest thing that I think when I worry about the heart is this. Is your heart too you-focused? I mean, when you look at your social media, is it always primarily just you? Is it always primarily, this is me being put on display? Everyone come look, see how great I am. And look, I know what I'm saying right now is probably the thing you've heard the most concern from adults, whether parents or teachers, about social media. But the only reason they're saying that is because, look, when they were in high school, they probably struggled with the same thing about being self-centered. Probably would have come out in the exact same way. In fact, it's easy still to be self-centered as an adult. Social media is a great way to quote-unquote humble brag. But does your social media account reflect a heart that promotes yourself and is having yourself be the center of attention? I remember one time being at the beach. We were there, and I think it was my parents and Katie was there, and we were all kind of hanging out. And I saw this girl. It's a beautiful day, 75 degrees, and there was a girl that's on the beach by herself. She's got her back to the ocean, and she spends about 10 minutes taking a picture, checking it. Okay, take another one, and checking it. Okay, let's try another, checking it. And you send me a laugh. Finally, after 10 minutes, I think she finally got something that she liked. And you look at that, and you kind of laugh, and you're like, okay, that's silly. But then you're going, man, what a sad existence that, no, I mean this genuinely. How sad is it this person's identity is so wrapped up in what other people think of them that this is what she has to do? By the way, you laugh. You do the same thing when you check your phone 2 minutes after every post you give to see how many likes you have. Just living for the affirmation of others because that's where you're finding your identity as opposed to in Christ. What does your social media say about your heart? Number two, what does social media say about your thinking? What does it say about your thinking? You need to think about social media and how it affects your thinking. Now, there are plenty of verses in Scripture that talk about thinking. It's all over the Bible, guys. The mind is so important. What you put in your mind. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take every thought captive. We want our thoughts to honor and please the Lord. Psalm 119. Your word I've treasured in my heart, or there in my mind, that I may not sin against you. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Look at this verse, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Right? For the Christian, honoring the Lord always begins with the mind. Thinking rightly about God, thinking rightly about this world. It's very important because what you think, what you allow into your mind affects how you behave, affects what you love. And so I would just ask, how is social media affecting your thinking? Would you see that if you're setting your mind on this app all the time, this platform, have you noticed any changes? I think there's some changes we got to look out for. We got to look out first how it changes how we think about information. You know, I've talked about this a couple times with Corey Williams. There's an old book that I won't get into, but it talks about the medium with which you look at things affects how you think about things. And one of the dangers of social media is it kind of turns everything into entertainment. It makes everything trivial, right? Like you might read an update on Facebook that so-and-so is going through a divorce, right? And you're just as sad in that when one of your favorite characters in the new Marvel movie died, you were sad. Why? Because it's all entertainment. It's all kind of coming through a screen, and we're all kind of reacting to it quickly. You know, we might read really bad news on social media, and then the next thing we might read something really funny, and we don't slow down and process. That doesn't mean it's all necessarily evil. It means we need to be aware of these things. We need to be aware about how we take in information. It can desensitize us. We need to think about social media and how we think about lust, right? Social media is filled with inappropriate images. Stuff that young men and young ladies are posing ways that they just clearly shouldn't. And quite frankly, I made a pet peeve about this a couple years ago. I never liked the Man Crush Monday or the Women Crush Wednesday, because I think what it's doing is it's teaching young men to think of women as objects. So when they show up on the screen, I give them a rating and we move on. That's not a soul. That's a person. That's for my enjoyment. I don't think that's healthy in the way that we think about that person who's created the image of God, whose father is probably devastated that she's chosen the life that she has. Right? It should change. We got to watch the way that social media affects how we think about reality. We've already talked about that. We also need to think about how does social media affect the way that we pay attention, that we stay engaged. You know, we're kind of the culture that likes to multitask, right? You like to say like, oh, I could be paying attention while looking at my phone, but really we can't. You know, one of my favorite songs is by Tripp Lee. He's got a song called I Love. I don't know if you guys ever heard that. It's a song about his iPhone. And it's basically his iPhone kind of rapping to him, singing to him, talking about all the ways that your iPhone doesn't want you to give attention to other things, right? He's talking about trying to pay attention in life, but I get another text, I got to look, you know, I got to spend all my money to upgrade you, make you look better. It's about this kind of controlling factor that the iPhone has over you. And it does. I mean, how many times have you been in something important and the phone goes off and you're like, oh, I have to check, have to look at this. It's very dangerous. I was thinking about this just over the weekend. Katie and I got away last weekend. We were in San Diego celebrating our 7th anniversary, which was a great time. And so I did something that I'd never done before. I was talking about it earlier this week. We went out for 4 or 5 hours. And I left my phone at home. I left it at the hotel room. Because I don't want to be distracted. I'm like, this is such a special weekend. You know, we've driven down to San Diego. I just want to focus on the time with my wife and the time that we're having together. You know what happened when I didn't have my phone? My life fell apart. No, I'm just kidding. You know what happened? Nothing. And I was actually able to enjoy this moment. I remember other times before where Jude's been doing something. And I'm like, oh, I got to get a picture. And I'm going, why? Why can't I just enjoy you know, watching my son say Dodgers and Raiders, you know, the corruption that I've instilled into him? Why can't I just sit and enjoy that instead of sharing that with other people, right? It allows us to pay attention and be present in the moment. So is that you? Social media, how's it affecting your thinking? What are you dwelling on? Are you only being controlled on it? For the sake of time, let me get to our last two points. Number three is social media and your time. Social media and your time. You know, one of my favorite theologians of the 80s said that time keeps on slipping into the future. And that was by the theologian Seal. You could write that down. But we are constantly running out of time. Even now, as I look at the clock, we are running out of time. So here's just a question you need to ask. It's how much time are you spending on social media? How much time are you spending on social media? You know, Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know what your time on social media shows? It shows how much you love it. You know, it's interesting. We don't all have the same amount of money. We're definitely not all have the same amount of intelligence. Some of you are much, much smarter than I am. But we all get the same amount of time. And we get to use it on what we want to use it on. So make no mistake. If you spend 4 hours a day on social media, that's a choice. And that's a reflection of your heart. What does that say about what you love? Well, what does that say about what you treasure? Do you realize this? There's a poll by Desiring God that came out 2 years ago. 73% of Christians would say that before they go to this in the morning, they go to this in the morning, whether it's emails or updates, texts, whatever, 73% of Christians go to this before they go to this. Now, that doesn't mean that those aren't real Christians, but what does that say about trajectories? What does that say about the rest of your day when instead of getting 10 minutes in the Word before you go on campus, before you pray about, Lord, help me honor you in this way, that you've actually lost that time. You've spent it on other things. What does that say about what you treasure? Because friends, time not only tells us our priorities, time is a terrible thing or something that we can waste. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil." We're supposed to make the most of our time. And so can I just ask this question? This will be on the quiz that we passed out at the end for yourself. What areas of life are you missing out on because of social media? What are things that social media, though it's telling you that it's helping make your life better, it's actually robbing you of? You know, let me just give you a few things you can think about. Maybe your social media is taking away your evangelism. Maybe it's taking away service opportunities. Maybe it's taking away Bible reading. Maybe it's honoring your parents by doing stuff around the house. Maybe for us adults, maybe it's affecting our parenting or us being a present spouse. Maybe students, it's affecting your prayer. John Piper said this. This is a tweet he sent out in 2009. He said this: "One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not due to a lack of time." Prayerlessness has nothing to do with the fact that we don't have time to do it. We make decisions with our time. Social media time. And last, number four is this: social media and Christian living. So I want you to think about what social media says about your time, about your thinking, about your communication. Let me just give you 2 minutes before we go about living godly. Do you realize social media is amazing? You know, I remember reading an article one time of a family. I was working in the fields. This is back in the 1800s. And Pony Express coming by, messenger from the nearby town, rides into town and lets the people know that President Lincoln had been assassinated. And the family's devastated. And they weep because, you know, the president, he's an important person. He's been killed. Here's what's amazing about that story. They're receiving the news 3 months later. Because they didn't have radios, they didn't have televisions, word just kind of passed, and it took them 3 months to hear something as important as that. Do you realize that with social media, we have the most glorious incredible, thrilling news in the universe that God sent his son to die for our sins, that man could be reconciled to God, and it can get from here to the other side of the planet like that. That there are countries where the gospel is illegal and that we can get it there through means of technology. That's amazing. That's so much more important than anything because souls are at stake. And so with social media, friends, there are things that you could be using it for good. It's not all evil, but we have to use it for good. We have to use it for God's glory. Just some ways we think about it. We could use it in sharing the gospel. Many of you have unsaved friends. Do you use your social media account to get the gospel to them because they might never actually come to church? If God has put you in their life and you're the only one that's ever going to actually share the gospel with them, why aren't you doing it? Right? Faith comes by not seminary training. Faith comes by hearing. Give them the gospel. You use it to be encouraging. Sometimes encouraging other believers. Tell people what you're reading in a way that's not boasting or gloating, but try to encourage them. Even commenting on other people, sending direct messages. It's a great way to be encouraging. Use it for prayer. Go through your social media account. Go through your Facebook feed, your Instagram feed, your Twitter feed. Be like, you know, I want to spend time praying for this person. You see it's their birthday. Remember to pray for them. Even wish them a happy birthday. Go for it. You can even create community, social media, in a way that you post pictures of things that we're doing in 180, encourages others to come along. All that to say, there's ways to do it. There's ways to use this and say, this doesn't exist for me. Nothing on this planet exists for me. I do all that I do to put Christ on display. So a few practical things, and then we're done. Remember, friends, social media is not bad. It's not a bad thing, but it's something that you should evaluate. Angel's in the back somewhere, I think. Angel, he's right there. So when I get done praying, Angel and a few other staff will kind of be at the doorways, and they've got a little quiz, and it would take 15 minutes. This week, I'd encourage you to evaluate yourself this week. Grab it, find some time on your own, take a look at it, see how you're doing with your social media habits. Remember, it's not bad, but we should evaluate ourselves. And remember, it's something by which we can glorify God. Use it in a way that puts God on display. It might encourage and even reach others for the gospel. Let me pray, we'll be done. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this brief time that we had to look at this. Such a big topic, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to be doers of the word, not merely just hearers. God, if anything, if we just could remember that it is not our space, it is not our account, that all that we have and all of who we are ultimately belongs to you, then Lord, help us then to honor you in light of that. Help us to please you in light of those realities. God, we're so grateful for technology. I even pray for unsaved students that know the students in this room, that they would come to hear the gospel in the only means that they might, which might be through their iPhone. We thank you for that. We thank you that we have that opportunity, Lord. Pray that we use it for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.